I hear today is the first day of fall. So my family went out a while ago and we had some pumpkin pie and apple cider. So that was good with whipping cream. But it's good to be here. It is my first time being here in Anchor Baptist Church, and we're very grateful to be here. I know we were scheduled to be with you weeks ago, but then things happened. But the Lord knows what He was doing, so we just leave it there and proceed. But anyhow, before we dive into the scriptures, I just want to tell you about our family a little bit. My wife over there, I'll ask her to come up with me, but then she didn't want to do that. But she has kids to take care of. But anyhow, she is from New Jersey, United States, with Pastor Charles Clark. I don't know if you're familiar with him. Solid Rock Baptist Church. They do a lot of singing, and she's from that church. And her salvation testimony is she got saved actually August 1st of 2010. But before having that profession of faith, when she was young, she was pressured by her friends to get saved. So she got saved when she was young. But the Lord used that to keep working in her heart just to say, you know what, you're not saved. But eventually, at that day, August 1st, the Lord just broke her. And you know what? The Lord's going to break you. That's how it works. Because before the Lord can bring us up, He has to bring us down.
Right.
The way up is always down.
Amen.
In Christian life. But for me, I was born and raised in Philippines. My family moved here in the year of 2012. I was 18 years old then. So if you calculate that, I'm 28 now. But the Lord providentially moved my family. I wasn't saved then. But it was the first Sunday that my family came here that my mother, who was here before us, and just she sponsored us. She brought us to Harvest Baptist Church the very first Sunday that we were here.
Amen.
And it was that day that the Lord convicted me of my sin and the need of me to have Him as my personal Savior. But I didn't get saved on that day. One of the guys from that church, RJ, tried to sit down with me and explain the scriptures, but I just missed it. I just didn't get it. It took weeks, and I found myself just meditating on a scripture. Actually, I was in the bus. I think I was heading towards a prayer meeting, and I was just thinking about salvation. And there's a verse that I was trying to find, but I couldn't find a scripture because I didn't know much about it. I just started attending a Baptist church, and actually, when I was attending that church, I looked outside and I see the sign says Harvest Baptist Church, and I was like, I'm in a Baptist church. So I didn't know much about the scriptures. And there's this assistant pastor that we had. His name is Brother Yondo. And I messaged him. I told him, Brother Yondo, what is the verse? Where can I find the verse that talks about God keeping you in His hands that no one can pluck you out of that hand? And he showed it to me. And I read the scriptures. The Bible says that no man can pluck you out of His Father's hand. And right there and then, I just told the Lord, Lord, if this is true, then I believed. It was as simple as that for me.
Amen.
But the Lord was working weeks before that about my sin. And then from there, the following year, our church, Harvest Baptist Church with Pastor Getty, he hosted 5 weeks of revival meetings. And these meetings, the Lord used it in such a way that there was a preacher, I can't remember which week it was, but I remember making a decision in that revival meeting. I was sitting at the very back over there, and the very back, I don't know why, maybe because it was back and all, but I was sitting at the very back, and I remember making a decision saying, Lord, you know what? I've been trying to pursue medicine. That's what I wanted to do. I did 3 years of pharmacy in the Philippines. But the Lord just keeps shutting the doors here in BC. Got to the point that, you know what, Lord? I'm just done with this life. I just want to serve You. I made that decision. And I didn't know it was possible, but 3 weeks later, I was able to get in the States and attend West Coast Baptist College. And that's where I went, did my studies. I only went there for a year. Again, I only got saved for a year so far at this point. And when you go into Bible college, well, at least for this Bible college, they had this 100-questionnaire in the beginning of the semester just to see how much you know about the scriptures. 100 of them. And I tell people, you know what? I assure you this day that I guarantee you, I probably just answered 5 of them all right. I didn't know anything about it. I know how to get saved. I know about the book of Jonah and the whale. But that's about it. But with God's grace, I was able to finish with both of my bachelor's and master's in 4 years. Damn. And that's not for me. It's just the Lord just blessing. And, you know, yes. I just gave my life to him. If you would have told me before going to Canada that my life would have been a missionary like this after 10 years, I would have told you you're crazy. But the Lord is good, yeah. And he used that. And I graduated 2017, and now just waiting on the Lord, walking with him, learning how to walk with him. But as I try to walk with him, this Christian life, you know what I found? You know, I found that Christian life is not hard, but Christian life is impossible. That there's only one man that can walk it, and that is Jesus Christ in you. So all we have to do is just step aside and let him do the job. Took me a while to understand this, but it was Pastor Colson in Lacombe, Alberta that showed me through the scriptures how to get that done. I was struggling with, I guess, just sin. Well, before I graduated, on graduation day, maybe the days before graduation day, I was interested to this lady. And I was able to just sit down with her dad. That was the first time meeting. But as being a pastor and having a pastor's daughter, he sat down with me and asked me all the questions in the book. Mind you, I didn't get saved till I was 18. Right. So all my past before then was just, what? You know what flesh can do? So I told him. And from that point, he said, okay, I don't think this is going to work out. And we've been talking for a while. And just thinking about the future, you know. Graduation day, and the Lord just broke me. And he said, okay, we're going to end this. It's just not going to work. So the Lord broke me. And I was thinking to myself, Lord, I've been trying to serve you. You know what? I went to Bible college. I just want to know more about you. But Lord, I tried to do the best things I could, but I could not do it. What is it, Lord? But this is before I understood the truth about the Holy Spirit and just Christ living in you, allowing him to do the job. But I wasn't there yet. So the Lord was breaking me to bring me to that point. It took a while, which I'm grateful because apparently some people takes longer. But the Lord has been gracious, allowing me to learn it in 6 years. It took a while, which I know it will take a while because Paul said that he travails these infants, this baby Christians, that they will grow in the knowledge of Christ. So that's the picture. It's like giving birth to a child and making this child, helping this child to grow and mature to be more like him. And it will take a while. But with that being said, the Lord just broke me. And I want to speak tonight about Psalm 51. But as you turn there, let me say something about Porcupine Plain real quick. As we are heading to Porcupine Plain, just catch one. Actually, a heart desire to begin with. I knew I was going to be a missionary. The Lord told me when I was a sophomore in college. But we didn't know where. And the reason being was because my wife hasn't surrendered yet. She surrendered to the point that, you know what, you're my husband, and whatever the Lord wants you to do, have at it. But she got to the point that, Lord, if you want me to be a missionary, I'll be one. And from there, the Lord just keep opening doors, reading books about biographies of missionaries going to China. So the Lord started burning our hearts with Asia, burning our hearts with the 1040 window. That was my heart. I thought the Lord was preparing us to go to Asia, to go to 1040 window, which is on the west side. And all of a sudden, I got a phone call from Pastor White saying, okay, Carl, would you consider praying about this church at Porcupine Plain, Saskatchewan? Of small town, but there's a pastor that is retired. Just pray about it. Pray about it. And I was asking the Lord, Asia is on that side. It's on the west side. Why are you sending us on the east side? It doesn't make sense. But the Lord knows what he's doing. And through those times of prayers, I remember one morning, my wife and I just are reading our devotions. And I was like, it's in Jeremiah 16:21. And that is the verse you're going to find in our prayer card. To where the Bible, the way I remember it is the word, hmm. The Lord says he's going to make sure that people will know his hand, his might, and his name. That's why I remember it. That's what the Lord showed me in the morning. I was like, Hanan, the Lord is about to show us where we're going. I think we're going to Asia. I think we're going to 1040 window. And she was like, okay. And I told her, keep reading your Bible. You might find something, that the Lord has something for you. And the Lord did the same thing for her. And it's almost like an identical verse that talks about his hand, his might, and his name in a different Bible, the different book of the Bible.
Right.
Yeah. And it's amazing how the Lord did that. So, okay, Lord, I guess it's Porcupine Plain. We went there, had a survey trip this April, and we got to meet the retired pastor. And the reason why he's retiring is probably not the best word to use for it, but I think the Lord is putting down because his health, he had so many heart problems that he had to get so many heart surgeries and bypass and all that, that even preaching, he couldn't get up and preach just because he's not capable of doing that anymore. So the Lord, I guess, is just saying to him, you know what? That's it. You're switching from preaching to praying. And it doesn't end there, you know? And if it's probably the better job to do praying, because that's what Jesus is still doing. He preached for 3.5 years, but he's been interceding and praying for you and I from there, you know? But we were there for 10 days. It is a very small town. The pastor there said, if you drive too fast, you're going to miss it. We were there for our first Sunday and even told the congregation for the afternoon, we'd like to check out the town. And one of the ladies said, are you going to check it out driving or are you going to walk? I got a good laugh out of that. But it is a very small town of 1,000 people. I don't know if... are you guys familiar with Saskatoon, where Saskatoon is located? Yeah. Saskatoon is about on the center side of Saskatchewan. But if you drive 3 hours east of Saskatoon, it's going to be close to the border. You're going to pass by Porcupine Plain. And that's where we're going to be at. If you're coming from Regina, it's 2.5 hours north of Regina. And the closest fellowship we're going to have is Pastor Will Fair. I don't know if you know them, the Fair family, but they're about 1 hour and 15 minutes away. They're in Nipawin, and he's the one helping out with Pastor as they transition from that. But we were there, and we told the Lord, Lord, this is a big step. It's a big step for our lives. Actually, Pastor White came up to me and said, pray about it. Maybe the Lord wants you there for 2 or 5 years just to prepare you for Asia. But I got to the point that, Lord, if you want us to be there forever, we're fine with it. But we just want you to show it clearly because we don't want to waste our time. We don't want our lives to be in vain just doing whatever outside of your wills. And he did. He did. And you know, one thing I found out after graduation is the Lord is not going to hide his will from you. Because he wants you to do it. The problem is on us. We don't want to know it. The Lord is just, he has a plan for your life, for you and my life. And he has a beautiful plan out of it to turn us from dust to gold and to be a vessel for him. And all he needs is just our surrender and say, Lord, here am I. I'm nothing. Just do something. You know, and he'll gladly take you and do something. Could you imagine me being born in Philippines and my wife being born in New Jersey, finding ourselves meeting in New Jersey apparently, and now we're going to Saskatchewan? See, only God can do that.
That's right.
And it's all because we just got to that point that, Lord, we're just done with this life, just going to serve you. But we were supposed to be in Porcupine Plain September 12th. That was supposed to be the first Sunday. But we hit bumps on the road. Our family got COVID. And I got the worst of it. I got the severe kind. I got COVID pneumonia. I was just talking to my respiratory guy. And apparently, I'm safe to just do a slow pace walk. If I do a brisk walk or running, I have to have my oxygen on. So we got to that point where it was just bad. So now we're just waiting on recovering fully. And also, we made changes for our plans to where instead of bringing our trailer there, our vehicle broke down as well. So we're planning on selling our vehicle and the trailer. And we found out that we don't have to be here to sell those. We can just leave a paperwork to my mom and she can just manage that. But we're just waiting on the Lord. We don't want to rush it. He allowed us to stay here for 3 more weeks sitting. And it was hard. It was a trying time for us. But the word has been the word that the Lord has been teaching me is the word wait. I thought I knew how to wait. But what cost me to learn how to wait and for me to know that I don't know how to wait is they got to the point that I couldn't handle anything. I'm stuck in the hospital with my oxygen on, with my hospital gown. Porcupine plant is over there. I can't get there. I can't even walk. Like, the room is about this big. I'll walk over there, come back over here, but I have to breathe here and rest for about 30 to an hour just to gather my oxygen back so I can walk again. So the Lord is just limiting things before us, just telling us to wait. And it's been good waiting. And I really thought, Pastor, that you were going to have a revival meeting this weekend. Well, apparently, you're preaching on 2 Chronicles 7:14, so the Lord might show up. But Pastor posted, I guess, pray for revival. And that somewhat stirred my heart. 3 years ago, I was just broken. And I realized that all my prayers was about me. Just bringing it up to the Lord. Here's what I need. Here's what I need. And I switched that. And I said, Lord, how are you doing today? Oh, that changed my perspective. Lord, you've been working so hard today with the lost people and the Christians you got. But 3 years ago, I met Pastor through a revival meeting with Pastor Brother Flanders. I think it was a revival meeting. But ever since then, my prayer has been a revival here in Canada. And now looking back, I just realized it today. That's probably why the Lord is sending us in Saskatchewan. Because 3 years ago, he already started working with my heart about revivals here in Canada. We've been on the road for a month, and we've seen a lot of wildfires along the road. Now it's a lot better. You can start camping and having a bonfire in s'mores. But when we were on the road a month ago, it was impossible. But we played a little game to where we said, okay, let's start counting the wildfires that we're going to see. And during our trip, we saw about 10 of them. And it dawned on me on the second one, or I think it was the first or the second one, that you know what? These wildfires are just crazy. They're just sweeping through BC. You hear them on the news and just the need of having more firefighters and all of that. And the Lord just started burning my heart, Lord, with the fact that what if we have a revival fire? What if we have a Holy Ghost fire? Yes. To where it will sweep through BC, and it will be so big that, you know, when there's a fire, people know that there's a fire.
Right.
You don't have to advertise yourself. They will see there's a fire, there's something going on. And not just that, they can smell you. You're around smoke, you're going to smell like smoke.
Right.
But you know, that's what we need. If only the Lord will just work in our hearts. If we would just let him have his way and have a personal revival and have a church revival, we'd be so different.
Yes.
And you know what I found out? And this is what I was preaching, Psalm 51. I guess we can turn there. I don't have a lot of time, but that's okay. The Lord knows what I ought to speak. I'll let him do it. In Psalm 51, this is a Psalm of David about repentance. The background of this story is found in the book of Samuel. I think I have about maybe 10 minutes here. But it is found in the book of Samuel. Let me find my... I think it is 2nd... Samuel chapter, oh Lord, where is it? Chapter 11 and chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12. Like I said, Psalm 51 is a psalm of repentance. It's a psalm of David that talks about repentance. And you're going to find out in your Christian life that repentance is not only for salvation. you're going to need it for growth. And as you're going to find out here, there's more in the Psalm 51 that is specifically geared towards an individual. Speaking of David, there's three things. There's a reason why you need to repent. And there's three things that we're going to look at real quick in Psalm 51. But let's look at the story here in Psalm 50, in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12. We're just going to skim through this. But starting in verse 1, it says, "It came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon, and besieged Rahab, but David tarried still at Jerusalem." Like I told you a while ago, this is a time in David's life to where he committed adultery with Bathsheba. But we're starting here in chapter 1, or in chapter 11, verse 1, and what it says here, that this is the time to when kings go forth to battle. But David, the last part says, tarried still at Jerusalem. See, David should have understood, being a king, that it is time for battle. But you know what David decided to do? He decided to stay home. He forgot there's a spiritual battle. You know what David did? Instead of wearing the spiritual armor, he took them all off and put them down and said, "You know what? I'm going to stay home. I'm not going to be in this spiritual battle." And when David did that, things started to go down. David tarried still, and you find David in verse 2, "And it came to pass in an evening tide that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself." When you tarry still at Jerusalem, when we stay home, when we put our guards down, you're going to see things that you're not supposed to be seeing. You're going to be doing things that you're not supposed to be doing. You're going to be saying things that you're not going to be saying. That's what happens when we put our guards down. "He saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman, and one said, 'Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?' And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her. For she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived," Bathsheba conceived, "and sent and told David, and said, 'I am with a child.'" Committed sin, and now there's a child. And look at what David did in verse 6. This is what happens because he forgot that he was in a battle. He saw Bathsheba. In verse 6, look at what happens. It gets worse. "And David sent Joab, saying, 'Send me Uriah.'" Uriah is the husband of Bathsheba, the Hittite. "And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, 'Go down to thy house and wash thy feet.' And Uriah departed of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept." Uriah understood there's a battle, and I'm not going home. "But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, 'Uriah went not down unto his house,' David said unto Uriah, 'Camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down unto thine house?' And this is what Uriah said. And Uriah said unto David, 'The ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and to live and to lie with my wife? As thou livest and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing.'" Uriah was saying, "I'm not going to go down to my house. My group, my team out there, they're out in the battlefield. My lord Joab, my commander-in-chief, out there, they're out there in the battlefield. I'm not going to go down to my house and eat and lie down with my wife." So what David was really trying to do is, David was trying to send Uriah back home so that he might lie with his wife, so that this baby that was conceived can be put towards him and say, "You were with your wife. That's your son." So David is trying to plot something here. That's what's happening. But Uriah, in his integrity, said, "I'm not going to go home. I know there's a battle. I'm going to keep my guards up. Because if you give Satan an inch, he will take a mile."
Right.
And you got to remember that. You got to keep your guards down. You see, Satan is not afraid of us. And the psalmist said, "The Lord is my shepherd." And I have found out, just being out for a month of deputation, that as you follow the Lord, the road is narrow. Not just it's narrow, but there's so many adversaries in it. You're going to need the great shepherd next to you. Amen. He has the rod and the staff. Comfort you. Hello? Amen. Amen. It's true. You see, you have to have God with you.
Yes.
Ravenhill said it this way. Leonard Raven said it this way. The devil is not afraid of the praying sheep. He's afraid of the shepherd. The presence of the shepherd.
Amen.
So you can build all the fences, but wolves will come in. They will find their way. But if the shepherd is there, you'll be just fine. You'll be just fine. But Uriah decided not to do that. So now David, verse 13. And when David had called him, I'm just going to cut this short, but verse 15. And he wrote in the letter, this is David saying, David wrote a letter to Joab, and this is the letter. And he wrote in the letter saying, "Set Uriah into the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire you from him, that he may be smitten and die." Because of the sin that he committed with Bathsheba, now he wanted to kill Uriah, which Uriah ended up dying. Verse 26, and when the wife of Uriah heard that Bathsheba, when she heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when the mourning was past, verse 27, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. You know, David retired. David tarried, is still at Jerusalem, and he saw things. He did things. And well, specifically here, he saw Bathsheba. But when we retire, we will see things we want to see. We don't want to see. We want to do things we ought not to be doing. And we will say things that we ought to be saying. And you know, that's the flesh, you see. We're so wicked. The Bible says that, Jesus said that the things that come out of the man, that's the problem. You see, there's three things that a Christian struggle with: the flesh, the world, and the devil. And you know what I found out? If you got to that point of just full surrender, world will diminish right away. And if you got to that point of understanding that the Lord has a leash with Satan, that's going to be easy. But the hardest thing I find in the Christian life is self.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because you got to get to the point of what Paul said, "I die daily." He got to the point that, you know what, this flesh is a problem. And it's because of the fall in Genesis. Mm. See, when God created us, he created us in the image of him. And the problem is the sin marred us from the image of God. That's why God sent his son to redeem us back. And the Bible says that when we see him, we shall be like him. So the Lord is trying to restore us to that same thing that he wants us to do, to redeem us slowly, to be more like him.
Amen.
And the Lord will do that. And he will bring trials to refine us to be more like him. In Hebrews 5:8, you're going to find out that it says, though he was a son, talking about Jesus Christ, yet he learned obedience through the things he suffered. So you're going to go through trials. And you're going to find out, you know what? These trials are from God. God designed it because he loves me so much to be more like his son. And you're going to find out that the way to get closer with God is to be being honest with him. It's to get to that point of brokenness and that, Lord, yes, I am poor. There's a song in Psalm 34, I think, or 37. It's a song. And it goes like this. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. Saved him out of his troubles. Saved him out of his troubles. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. And he will do the same thing for you.
Amen.
But the Lord will not save you from your troubles until you cry.
That's right.
But you know what? We're not going to cry until we realize that we are the poor man.
Mm-hmm.
You see? We got to be able to just be honest with God. Pastor, your post really started stirring my heart. I started looking into revivals in Canada. There's one that I found, 1971, in Saskatoon. Pastor McLeod. I watched the whole thing yesterday and read a little bit about it. And I heard the preachers, you know what the preachers were preaching about? When people were getting saved and all that, they were just preaching to Christians. And the Christians were getting right with God. And because of Christians getting right with God, sinners were getting saved. Isn't that what we read a while ago? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn there from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. So what hinders the people from getting saved is our sin. Now, my heart is in Canada, and my heart is in Porcupine Plain. I want to reach out Porcupine Plain and the neighboring cities around it. People there likes to drive. Driving 3 hours is so normal that their doctor's appointment is 3 hours away. So to invite people an hour away and just have them come to church, it's possible. They will do that. But what I'm saying is, if my heart is not right, if there's something between me and the Savior, just quit the ministry. It's not gonna work, you know. But I gotta get to that point that I am just honest with God and you know what? There's gonna be some times to where the Lord will remind me of things that of the sins that I've done. And I gotta confess it right away. I gotta make sure that I don't stand behind a pulpit with the sin. It's not gonna work. The Lord's not gonna bless that. And you know what? People will know that. Because the fruits, the vine, you're not connected to the vine. You're cut off from the vine. There's no power. There's no fruit. You know what I'm saying? And it's not just true for pastors. It's true for you too. The Lord organized these pastors to lead the way. You know, but there's leaders that the Lord will raise up, and there's also followers. That's just how the Lord set it up. And He cares for you, and He wants you to be molded like Him. And when we speak about a church revival, we're not talking about a pastor revival. That's an individual one. When we speak about a church revival, we're talking about the church getting right with God and saying, Lord, search me. You know my heart. Try me, Lord. You know my thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Can you sing the song, Nothing Between, and be honest with it? Nothing between before me and the Savior. Now, David here sinned, but the Lord brought Nathan. And you're going to find out that sometimes the Lord will tell his servants what's happening. Nathan didn't know about this until the Lord told him. But Nathan told David, you know what, David? You have sinned. Just cutting the story here. I don't know if you're familiar with it. But Nathan said, thou art the man here. You have sinned. But the difference of David and Saul was David repented while Saul did not. But David was broken. And you find him in Psalm 51. That he started even the verse here saying, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. David saying, wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, the only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. And David was repenting and saying, Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, forgive me. He said, verse 7, purge me, Lord, with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. And David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. You know, sin will take your joy away. You want joy? Let's get cleaned up. and the Lord will start blessing you. You'll be amazed what he will do. But this is the reason why repentance is needed. Oh, the repentance. Let me back up a little bit. What repentance does. Repentance cleanses. If there's one thing I can tell about repentance, it would be that. Repentance will clean you. Will clean me. Because we're being honest with God. That's what saved us, and that's how we're going to grow. That's how we move forward. But this is why repentance is needed. Starting in verse 3. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Repentance needed so that we can reach out to the lost people. That's the first one here. Then will I teach sinners, transgressors, thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. So we won't be able to teach properly and convert them to the Lord if we haven't repented. That's what it says here. It's found in verse 13. I just read to you the repentance part in verse 1 to 12. Not only we will teach the lost and we'll be able to reach out to them, but in verse 14, it says here, we can sing. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. My tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. A few verses before this, Psalm 47, it says here in verse 7, for God is the King of all earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. When you get right with God, all of a sudden, the songs becomes true, becomes real. I remember when I was talking to that pastor and I was rejected, all the songs that we sang for that hymn about me being a sinner, I sang it good because it was real. It was true. And that's what's going to happen if you have repentance, that you can just sing. In verse 15, it says, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. But not only we will teach, not only we will sing, but lastly, we will sacrifice. Our sacrifices are going to be acceptable. In verse 16, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in the burnt offering. The sacrifice of God, our broken spirit, our broken and contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. If you have gotten to the point of repentance, you can give your life, and he will do something with it. It says, the sacrifice of God, our broken spirit, our broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou will not despise. I don't know where you're at today, and when it comes to sin, most of the time, we know what it is. And if you want to be honest with God, pray. Tell him. I know Pastor, he said he's going to preach 2 Chronicles, but Lord willing, pray before even he preach and just say, Lord, from this time to that, just say, Lord, search my heart and see if there's any wicked way. And just, Lord, just show me. Because that's what limits it. I've read through some revival stories, and that's what it is. That's what hinders it. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is true. But the question is, do you believe it's true? Do you believe that revival can happen? If you do, there's a quote, and it goes like this. An honest man with an open Bible and a pen and a paper can go a long way with God. An honest man with an open Bible. Because the Bible will tell you. That's one of the reasons why Christians doesn't read the Bible. Because the Lord will tell them what's wrong with them, with us. Right. But we got to read it. And we got to get to the point that, Lord, it's true. I agree with you. I'm sorry. That's how we grow. But an honest man with an open Bible and a pen and paper will go a long ways with God. Are you willing? There's a man, I don't remember who he was, I can't remember. He said, if you want revival, go outside and draw a circle and stand in it and ask the Lord, Lord, what's hindering revival in my life? Where are we today? And you know what? I want revival. I do. I want to see it in our lifetime. I think we're in the last days. It's been trying for the last 2 years already. It's the Lord is coming soon. And we got to be... The church has to function fully. We don't want the bride dirty when he comes. We want it clean and ready for him. Amen. And that's all. You know, I just say that with love, you know. And trust that the Lord will work. And he's been working, I know. And just directing his people during this time. I got interested with revival yesterday. And this morning, yesterday, and I messaged one of the pastors I know. And I said, Pastor, do you know a book about revivals in Canada? And he sent me one. And all of a sudden, after that, He added me to a Facebook group chat of different pastors on the East Coast of Canada that are praying for revival. And we prayed this morning. I was so overwhelmed because my heart was just, you know, revival, revival. And all of a sudden, the Lord just showed these men that are also hungry for revival. There's people, there's remnants out there that are praying for revival. I guess the Lord is waiting on us and his perfect timing.